Justin.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
We're back.
Yes, we are.
This is Two Gays and Digimon Podcast.
Mm-hmm. And we've got two certainly somewhat special episodes to talk about with you today.
Yes. Today we are breaking up episodes two at a time because we've decided that that is the best way to cover these next few episodes as we approach the finale.
I know. It's crazy that, like, I feel like the finale to 01 was yesterday and now we're quickly approaching the finale of 02.
You will never learn that it is not 01.
I will not. I'm sorry.
So this is taking place in the year 2002, which is why it's 02.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, it's only been 44 episodes in over a year since we started.
Yeah.
But anyway, we decided that it would be best narratively to set up the finale of our time with Adventure. We're still going to find the movie and watch it before we jump into Digimon Tamers, but right now we're going to do episodes 44 and 45 of Digimon Adventure 02, the English dub. So episode 44 is called Dark Sun, Dark Spore in English, or The Battle Against the Dark Digimon in Japanese.
Oh, that title, once again, much better. Has more dramatic flair.
I guess. I don't like these episodes. I'm going to say straight off the bat.
Yeah, I am there. I'm definitely there with you on the second episode we're going to talk about today. The first one I'm, like, kind of 50-50 on, but it didn't convince me, which, like, most of the other episodes of this season have, like, pretty quickly convinced me.
This episode starts off with a recap from Kari of the previous episode's events, where we saw that some evil Digimon were attacking the city, and all of the Gen 1 Digimon gave their power to Imperial Jamon so he can mode change into fighter mode to stop Skull Saitamon and destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ken got into a unmarked car
with a stranger.
With Arukenimon and a bunch of creepy children.
Yeah. A lot of strangers, actually.
So this episode starts with Davis becoming the Flash to save his boyfriend.
Yeah. His boyfriend, Ken.
A.K.A. Jim, Joe's brother, shows up to drive after Mom and Dad.
Yeah, he's in, like, a little yellow buggy.
Which, if this is your first episode, one, welcome. Mm-hmm. Two, I refer to Arukenimon and Mummymon as Mom and Dad a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ken in the van says that Arukenimon double-crossed him, which he says, sorry, it's a bad habit of mine. So, in this van, there is Arukenimon, Ken, and some creepy boxcar children, is what I called them.
Yeah, with, like, shadowy, like, there's, like, probably, like, 24 children, but only three of them have, like, faces. The rest are all, like, shadowy figures.
Yeah, we see, like, the same shot of these kids who are all, like, cast in shadow and all have, like, a vacant, creepy smile on their face, except for one girl because she's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Like a face mask.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, what are your thoughts on the creepy boxcar children?
I mean, they're certainly creepy. There's a lot of them. I think, and I mean, maybe we'll get into this a bit more once we get kind of more of a backstory about why they got in the van. But the justification, like, they're acting as if they've been hypnotized, but the explanation for why they're, like, in the van with Arukenimon is not, like, they were hypnotized. It's that they, like, willingly
promise. We saw a couple of these kids get, like, seduced, I don't want to use the word seduced, but I guess that is the best word for it, into this van by Arukenimon and Mummymon throughout the world tour arc.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time we would cut back to Japan and we'd see, like, Mummymon approaches a kid on the playground who's lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Arukenimon, like, lures a sickly girl down a dark alleyway. And then Mummymon and Arukenimon get this one kid who was on, like, a bridge, who, like, I don't know if they were trying to imply something with that, but...
Yeah. But, like, it's still framed as, like, they were promised something they wanted, and they were, like, sure. But the fact that they're all acting, like, in unison makes it seem like they're, like, being controlled. When they're, like, not, but they are. It's like, a weird narrative disconnect.
The whole thing doesn't feel very well thought out, and to me, this whole ending bit of Adventure 02 is, like, not well written.
Which was kind of an issue with the first season.
I
the whole portal thing.
Narrative structure wise, the end, like, the episodes leading up to the end of 02 or end of the first adventure are some of the most fun episodes.
Yeah.
Like, the, like, Puppetmon is a great villain. The fight between Anjuamon and Lady Devimon.
Yeah. I meant more like the one episode where they're, like, in, like, the weird in-between world where they're falling. Yeah,
I don't even think that's that bad. I think there is more narratively backing up the first adventure than there is in 02. Because, like...
Hello, this is Editing Adam. I honestly have no idea what I'm trying to say. The audio cut out here, and I don't know. I really do think that Adventure 1 has a more solid structure, but I think that 02 has a more character-driven narrative, I think is what I was probably trying to say.
All right, so we're moving on from the Boxcar Kids.
Mm-hmm.
We Ken finally comes face-to-face with Oikawa,
mm-hmm.
the creepy tall man who's been lurking in the shadows with Arukamimon and Mamimon.
Oikawa, the ultimate life form. He's very edgy, creepy. Ooh, I'm a spooky guy.
Oikawa.
I'm dangerous.
The 16th villain, hidden somewhere inside the anime. Look out for him.
Hidden somewhere inside the back of this box truck.
Yeah, he's, like, hidden in the shadows, like, amongst the children.
But then he stands up and he's, like, AZ doll.
Yeah. also, Oikawa and Ken have met before, mm-hmm. which both times we watched this for the podcast, he says that you've met before, and he's like, why, don't you remember? And I kept wanting him to be like, remember that?
Will a small child's funeral do it?
So then we see that Lady Devimon is chasing the car, and it's time for Sylveemon to kick her ass.
It really is.
This brings up a point to me which really bothers me about the second adventure kids.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically Cody and Yoli. They are so hesitant to kill the bad Digimon.
Yeah.
When, like, one, the evil. Like, they're out here trying to kill these children.
Yeah.
Or, like, get Ken. Two, no one in the first adventure had any problems with the bad Digimon dying.
I wonder if that's a criticism they got from parents, and that's why they, like, brought it into the second
season. Maybe in the dub.
Yeah. I also, like, while they're... So, like, Sylveemon's fighting Lady Evermon, who's also chasing Oikawa mm-hmm. and Arukenimon in the truck. There is one part where it's, like, a visual pun, but I think it's one of the best ones Digimon has ever done, where Lady Devimon, like, sends a bunch of her bats to, like, cover the windows of the truck that Mummymon's driving, and he goes, oh, I'm blind as a bat! But it's, like, because it's bats that are blinding him. I thought that was actually, like, really, really, really clever.
He says, oh, I'm blind as a bat. Aren't you guys up a little bit late?
Yeah. And then he uses the windshield wipers and they get swatted away, which is, funny.
So, yeah, I'm a little frustrated with the hesitation that Cody and Yoli showed to rough up these bad Digimon in these episodes.
Well, it's even weirder. It's, like, Yoli hesitates to even say, like, yeah, like, you two should... A DNA Digivolve. Well, like, that's all Gatomon's asking.
Gatomon asks Hawkmon for help because she gave up her power to become Anjouamon,
mm-hmm.
so Imperial Dramon could mode change. Just, you know, serving the male's plotline, I guess. And then Yoli is, like, hesitant to even let Hawkmon go do that.
Yeah, I'm like, you've been doing this for 44 episodes.
But it's never been, like, an evil Digimon. They had to free the Digimon from the Digimon were under Ken's control.
Mm-hmm.
The Digimon were made from control spires. So, like, yeah, these are the first time where they're, like, actual bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then the World Tour Act, they weren't, like, evil. They were just, like, kind of confused.
Yeah.
But I just don't really understand what the big deal is. Especially for someone, Yoli, who is so ready to go into action.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, she climbed the spire bare hands.
Yeah. So in the van, Oikawa reveals that he wrote the email that lured Ken into the digital world for the first time.
He also reveals that he is a friend of Ken's father, which, like, I need them to, I feel like they're not going to, but I need them to, like, explain that further, because, like, what the hell does that mean?
We are going to get, because we do know that TK's mom and Oikawa have worked together in the past.
Yeah.
He's an investigative reporter.
Okay. Do we know what Ken's dad does?
No, we don't know what he... Okay. His mom works somewhere.
His mom does work? Okay.
Yeah. Oikawa reveals that Arukenimon and Mummymon are his assistants, which to me kind of, like, cheapens the impact of Arukenimon and Mummymon that they've been working for Oikawa this whole time.
Especially because he says, like, they're powerful, but all it takes to control them is a couple of compliments, and Arukenimon's like, yeah! Which, like, honestly...
It's funny.
That is funny, but it does, I agree with you, it cheapens their impact, their agency. Like, what, like, I want to know what they're getting out of this arrangement, besides compliments. You know, I feel like there should be more, like, I feel like it should be like, oh, Arcanemon's actually plotting to, like, betray Oikawa and, like, take away whatever.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, Ari Kennyman and Mummy Mon have their fate in this series, in this season finale, so.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I'm gonna be really sad if they die. I'm gonna be really sad.
Well, we'll see.
Well.
Meanwhile, in Jim's car, the boys are halted by many trains in what can only be described as a camp bit.
Yeah, it's like the Three Stooges, like.
Yeah, they're like chasing after the train, after the unmarked van in this, like, little car,
mm-hmm.
and it's got like Jim, Davis,
all the boys.
V-mon, Wormmon, Armadillomon, Cody, TK, and Patamon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, because Wormmon is with the rest of the group. Yeah, because Wormmon didn't go with Ken.
Yeah, so they have to stop for a train passing through the on a railway, and then they're like, "Okay, fine, we can still catch up to them. We can still make it." And then another train goes by. The opposite way, and then another train comes by the opposite way.
There's also, like...
And they're like, what's taking so long?
This was also... It was also, like, a bit of an editing gag. Because, like, they see, like, now we just gotta wait for the gate to come up. And then there's, like... It's, like, a still shot of them just sitting there, like, watching.
Yeah.
With no sound for, like, a solid 5 seconds before, yeah, like, the next train comes.
There's some weird pauses, too. I'll get to that.
Yeah.
Back in the van, Owee Cobble reveals he implanted Ken with the Dark Spore, which I wrote Dark Spore TM.
Yeah.
Which we saw Ken get, like, in a flashback, get, like, pelted with a strange dark object. That was the Dark Spore.
Oh, I forgot about that part. It seemed like the way they framed it in this episode was confusing to me, because... You saying that makes me remember that, but I remembered it as, like, the way they framed in this episode made me think, like, the email that Oikawa wrote and sent to Ken right after his brother's funeral, mm-hmm. about, like, maybe it was his fate or whatever, like, was so grim and disturbing that is what installed the Dark Spore in
Ken. To me, it feels like we are, again, seeing that there are two different factions at play here with, like, what they wanted to write about.
Yeah.
Where, like, to me, the more compelling thing is that Ken was lured down a dark path because he didn't have any friends.
Yeah.
And, like...
He had trauma.
And so this creepy old man guiding him in this dark direction,
mm-hmm.
leading him to the dark ocean, leading him to becoming the Digimon Emperor, is more compelling than an old man. I don't like all the metaphors of... an old man implanting spores into children.
Yeah, don't love it.
It is very, like, creepy. And he's just, like, a creepy guy that, like, would be on the neighborhood watch poster. Like,
oh, yeah. I also don't like that it's, like, well, the dark spore is the reason why Ken is so smart and so good at sports. And that's why these kids want it, too. Yeah. Because, like, that just takes away all of Ken's storyline. Like, I thought the whole storyline was, like, he poured himself into... Like, his brother's gone, and his brother was so reputable in the community, right? His brother yeah. was the original Ken. So he was like, I have to prove myself, I have to fill this hole.
It takes away him, like, feeling this immense pressure to, like, live up to his parents' expectations for his older brother.
Yeah. And instead it's like, oh, he just did it because he was given a magical dark spore.
Yeah,
a
mysterious dark spore from totally, a creepy old man.
It cuts it at the knees, I don't like that.
Then we cut to Sylphiemon versus Lady Devimon, which is not as fun as Lady Devimon versus Anjuamon.
No.
There's not as much banter.
It's not as much boobs, let's be real.
Well, Sylphiemon is they-them.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Sylphiemon is post-op. Oh, we didn't cover the rest of the Dark Spore nonsense. So, Oikawa is using Ken's Dark Spore he's, like, cultivating Ken's Dark Spore, that's what he's been waiting for this whole time,
mm-hmm.
to use it and implant it into these kidnapped children. So we do the not-fun fight between Sylphiemon and Lady Devimon.
Yeah.
Not as much witty banter, very disappointing.
It is just them hurling balls of energy at each other over and over.
Well,
and bats.
Lady Devimon has some, like, one-liners, but they're not... It's not as good without Anjuamon, like, firing one-liners
back.
Yeah,
it's not a tennis match, it's just a single serve.
Mm-hmm. So, we have time for a little mom and dad flirting.
Oh, we do, that's right. He says something about, like, the stars are saying that she should give him a smooch.
Yeah. It's very silly, and, like, it once again endears me more to Arukenimon and Mummymon, where, like, I feel like this Oikawa stuff is, like, really... dark,
mm-hmm.
and edgy, and feels like it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Oikawa has been, like, appearing. Like, we're slow. I feel like we need, like, we have, like, episode 44 and 45. Mm-hmm. So we have 5 more episodes left. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we need 10 more episodes for me to feel satisfied with Oikawa.
Yeah.
As a villain.
You know what else I wish / was kind of expecting? I thought Oikawa was going to be a villain, but was not going to be, like, affiliated with, like, the digital world at all. I thought Oikawa was going to be a villain, like, from the government, who's, like, trying to, like...
Yeah,
like, remember there was a whole thing about, like, security systems? Got,
like, Jedi monitoring the world governments to, like, make sure they couldn't find their way to the digital world.
Yeah, Oikawa should be, like, the face of that. Yeah,
that is more interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about, like, rewriting 02 on this, on our journey. Mm-hmm. And I do like that a lot better.
I still love it, though.
Oh, it's still my favorite, but...
Yeah. The characters are too good.
So, then we got a weird, like, we go back to, like, the city being attacked by the evil Digimon. We had a weird shot of a Genguro gal.
Oh, wait, sorry, there's one other thing I wanted to mention before we moved on. Mm-hmm. Oikawa starts taking, like, he uses, like, a scanner, basically, to, like,
sucks
or stuff out of Ken or whatever. I don't know, it's weird. But Ken is, like, writhing in pain, and he asks first for Davis and then for Wormmon. He asks for his boyfriend first. His boyfriend, Davis. That was very important to note.
Digimon as a series about kids growing up, and it is kind of, like... The way they've framed it now, especially with Digimon Adventure, is like the Digimon are kind of their imaginary friends. And then they, like, grow out of... Because kids grow out of having imaginary friends, theoretically. So, like, Davis is his real-world friend.
Mm-hmm.
His real-world lover.
Yeah.
And Wormmon is his, like, childhood best friend. Oh, like, it's like, his dog. Like,
I love that.
Yeah. But I... Also, I'm like, but I like them being real friends and not just, like, your imaginary friend that you grow out of.
I still think it's interesting he asked for Davis first. Because, like, even if he cared, like, Davis can't really help him as much as Wormmon could, in theory.
Yeah. So we got a shot of a Genguro gal, which is, like, a weird Japanese street fashion trend where, like, Japanese women take a lot of inspiration from hip-hop and, like, American pop culture. Mm-hmm. And paint their skin darker and give themselves bright eyeshadow.
Yeah.
It's very uncomfy. So anyway, we see that whole shot is just to tell us that Marine Devimon is here to attack the city. And we see that Jim and the boys encounter Marine Devimon.
Who, really scary.
Yeah.
I don't think, you haven't seen the movie. Have you ever seen what the monster from Cloverfield looks like?
I've seen Cloverfield.
You have seen Cloverfield?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. It looks... Marine Devimon looks a lot like the Cloverfield monster. Obviously, Marine Devimon came first.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they both draw inspiration from other, like, kaiju type.
Yeah.
But it's... That was, like, really striking to me. Because it's, like, got all these tentacles. And it's got, like, kind of a weird-shaped face. And it's portrayed as much more animalistic than a lot of other Digimon. Like, even a lot of the Digimon that are, like, clearly animals. Like, they talk and they have some human characteristics. This is... Marine Devimon appears kind of to be just a monster, I feel like.
Yeah, it's very much like, well, we had Skull Sadamon to, like, taunt and, like, be evil. We have the return of Lady Devimon.
Yeah, who's, like, very humanoid, obviously.
Yeah, and so I guarantee you, one, there probably was no dialogue. There might not have been any dialogue from Marine Devimon.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was, like, they cut it for time. Like,
yeah, it's scary. I was like, oh, this would freak me out.
So we see the boys split up.
Mm-hmm.
You get a Digi-Armor Energize.
Oh, yeah, for the first time in a while,
it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But Davis and Wormmon take off on Rangermon to follow the van.
Yeah, meanwhile, Cody shows a very descriptive drawing of a truck that they're looking for to the police. And it's literally, when I kid you not, it's a white piece of paper with, like, a square for the truck and, like, circle for the wheels and then, like, a triangle for the, like, front, like, the cockpit of the truck or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good job, Cody. You're good at a lot of things. Maybe drawing isn't in your future, and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, Cody's, like, a little kid, so...
Yeah.
I think that Cody being hesitant to fight and destroy these bad Digimon does fit into my Cody autism theory.
It also, I feel like, fits into, like, his kendo training.
Yeah, I think also it is because his dad was killed in the line of duty.
Yeah, that too. He does reference his dad in this episode, which I kind of forgot about that storyline.
TK and Cody form Shakuamon to take on Marine Devimon. Mm-hmm. Lady Devimon has hilarious CGI bats in her fight with Sylveon.
Yeah.
And she does say something like, "What's the matter? Got bats in your belfry?"
Which, like, silly. Very silly.
So in their battle, Sylveon gets slammed down into the ground, and these two, like, skater bros come to mm-hmm. see, like, what the heck's going on. And Lady Devimon takes one of them hostage.
Which, I wrote in my notes, is, like, very, like, kind of darker than we've really seen. Like, when Meiotismon came to the human world in season one, he wasn't, like, actively trying to, like, hurt people. He just, like...
Oh, he was... Remember? He, like, lures that woman into the carriage and, like, drinks her blood or whatever.
Oh, what's that?
And he does kidnap a bunch of young children to try to find the answer to Justin. So, yeah, Meiotismon was actually trying to hurt people. This is the first time, like, in this season... where we've seen a Digimon, like, strategically take a hostage.
Yeah. Which then presents, like...
There's a moral quandary. Like,
yeah, the Digimon tackles the trolley problem. Would you kill one evildoer to save five innocents? Or that's not exactly how the trolley problem works, but, no, like, it's the same idea.
It's one life for another.
Yeah, it's like capital punishment. It's like, do you believe in the death penalty, Digimon style?
So, apparently, the van is headed to Heightened View Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the site of where the original 8 Digestin first encountered Digimon.
But according to Oikawa and his brilliant sense of humor, it should be renamed to Darkview Terrace. Wouldn't that be so much better?
One of the worst dub jokes ever.
So, like, is the joke supposed to be that it isn't funny? Because I don't think so. I think it's, like,
I think the joke is supposed to be that Oikawa is an emo kid, non-conforming as can be. So, Heightened View Terrace occurred to me for the first time
mm-hmm.
after being a fan of Digimon for what is, like, 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dub name.
Right. Of course it is.
I don't know why it never occurred to me for all these years, all these times I've rewatched Digimon Adventure, that the real name of this place would not be Heightened View Terrace.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that's, like, it makes sense that they would dub it, but it also seems, like, too insignificant.
It sounds like I will think of the word terrace, and I'm like, Heightened View Terrace, where they first encountered the Digimon.
Oh my god.
So, the real name of Heightened View Terrace in the original is Hikari Gaoka, which is a family neighborhood in a suburb of Tokyo.
Oh, it's real?
Mm-hmm. It's very lively, but also very green.
Mm.
It has a huge park, which we probably saw in the first adventure. And Hikari Gaoka means light on the hill.
Oh.
It was once apparently known as Grant Heights, and it was a U.S. military housing complex.
Oh.
It was home to many early English schools, and the area is returned to the Japanese government in 1973. So, I did get this from what was, like, a fan website, but a lot of the, like, official stuff was, like, not telling me about the history of this neighborhood. Like, mm-hmm. it was telling me about, like, what's fun to do there, where are the best places to eat as a tourist.
Oh, my God.
So, but... this website, like, had, like, a shot-for-shot match of, like, stuff in Hikari Gaoka.
And, like, what's in the show.
And what's in the show.
That's cool.
So that giant saw in the ground, we could go see it.
We could. Oh, God, that's a lot.
And if you want to pay for us to get there...
yeah, Venmo us at 2Gays.
You can donate to us. Somehow, we will make that happen for you.
Shoot us a... You know what? We have an email. I think you can PayPal to anyone's email or something. I don't know.
No, we'll figure
don't
out.
Actually, don't... I mean, like, if you...
You don't have to give us money ever unless you really want to.
Please don't. I mean, unless you really want to.
So, anyway, I hate Oikawa. Why is he beefing with a 12-year-old?
I mean, I think I have an idea.
He, like, personally is angry at Ken. And, like,
yeah,
I know what's coming down the pipeline. You mm-hmm. don't.
No, but,
like, to me, I'm like, see a therapist, bro.
Yeah,
like,
bro.
Why are you so mad at this 12-year-old boy who, like, you did this to? He's, like, trying to, like, turn all the kids against Ken, which, like, the whole reason the kids were there in the first place is because they wanted to be like Ken.
Yeah.
He's, like, saying that Ken thinks he's too good for them now.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, bro, like, stop it. Stop being weird.
It also doesn't seem... like, he wants these kids to become new Kens, so why would he make Ken sound bad to them?
Yeah.
I do have a prediction for what he's trying to do.
What?
He saw how much damage Ken was able to do in the digital world, and, like, how much control Ken was able to, like, administer. By creating 20 Kens, he can unleash 20 digital emperors, digi-emperors on the digital world, and, like, have complete control over the kids, which have control over the digital world, so therefore he controls it.
Yeah, and so far none of the kids have a Digimon.
Yeah, which is, like, his big mess-up,
yeah.
Is that, like, they aren't all digi-destined.
So,
can't fight Destiny Man.
Back to the Lady Devimon versus Sylphimon fight,
mm-hmm.
Where Lady Devimon has the bro hostage.
He's Sean White. Tony Hawk.
Yeah, she has Tony Hawk hostage. Yoli shows off her bad bitchery and strikes Lady Devimon with a skateboard, getting her to release the kid she has hostage. But then Lady Devimon turns her attention to Yoli, so Sylphimon destroys Lady Devimon.
Sylphimon vaporizes her ass.
Yoli regrets her death, but Kari reassures her that it was the right thing to do.
I do have one note on the scene.
What?
It's, oh no! Here comes Yoli with a steel skateboard! It really is like a WWE SmackDown. Like,
Yoli from the top rope!
It's almost, like, the way they animate it, it almost looks like she hits the hostage kid so hard in the back that he, like, flies out of Lady Devimon's arms. That's kind of like, the angle she comes in at, that's kind of how it looks to me.
Yeah, to me, that's just further cements that Yoli should have had courage and knowledge of her crest.
Instead of sincerity and love.
Just because she's the girl.
The girl.
Where I think Cody, like, shows more, like, compassion and, like...
Yeah. Cody, like, really loves... I mean, they all love their partners, but Cody, like, really loves Armadillo Mon. Where, like, Yoli is, like, Hawkmon and I are teaming up.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Jim and the boys roll up to save sick kids with cancer, probably.
Yeah. From, like, the hospital that's gonna get
from
attacked.
A hospital that is in the path of Shikuamon and Marine Devimon.
Yeah.
Cody thinks of his dad, mm-hmm. when Jim and TK are talking about, well, I guess you don't need to be a doctor to save lives, because if we remember, Jim gave up being a doctor to study folklore and mythology under Sora's father.
Oh, yeah.
So, we don't know if the kids have cancer or some bad disease, but I was like... Oh no, how can we save these sick children with cancer from the big bad Digimon? It was like when I called the kids on the bus, the school system had a bus full of injured orphans. So, to save the kids with cancer, probably. I'm not joking about cancer, I'm joking about it being like the worst possible situation.
Yeah, the children with cancer who also are orphans.
Yeah. So, to save the children, Cody, TK, and Jim included.
Mm-hmm.
Shikuamon destroys Marine Devimon to save them, and Cody is shook by that for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit longer than Yoli. Like, I don't think Cody, like, I think if they were handling it better, Cody being like, somebody killed my dad, so, like, I don't want to kill anybody else. That would be, like, a good thing, rather than, Cody just, like, not wanting to fight, it feels like. They're framing it like they don't want to fight, where I'm like,
yeah.
You guys have been fighting this whole time.
Yeah. Like, suck it up.
So, the episode comes to a close with Davis in hot pursuit of the van, but the mysterious cloaked figure that we saw before who wanted Ken, but was duped by Arukenimon,
mm-hmm.
appears, and Davis and Rageramon are like, who's that? And then it, like, they're like, we're gonna find out. And then, like, it freezes, because it's like the end of the episode, and the narrator goes, who is Daemon? Find out next time on Digimon Digital Monsters. And I'm like, well, I guess we know who it is now, because you did spoil it for us.
Yeah. oops. I mean, who is Mysterious Digital Digimon?
Episode 45, The Dark Gate, or The Gate of Darkness.
That big difference there.
Yeah.
Big difference. I like how it's do you think the Spore, like, is the first evolution, and then the Dark Gate is, like, the champion level?
Maybe. We will see, like, evil, like, human creator Digimon later on in, like, other series.
So
we have a Ken recap where we have discovered that Ken is low-key the main character.
Yeah.
Everything post Digimon Emperor has been about Ken.
And even, like, when he was the villain, it was about him. Yeah. Like, he was the villain.
So, he's just Ken. So, honestly, this episode could have been called I'm Just Ken.
It could have.
Or that, no. Okay, so in our rewrite, because remember how we felt like there should have been more time between Ken, like, not being the Digimon Emperor than him joining the team?
Yeah.
In his in his episodes in between him becoming, leaving being Digimon Emperor to becoming Digidestined, and then remember that he was, like, in that weird coma?
Yeah, that was weird.
That episode should have been called I'm Just Ken. In our rewrite, it'll be, in our fanfiction rewrite.
You know what I have to say that?
What?
Ken Ichijoji could have been in the Barbie movie, but Ryan Gosling could have never been in Digimon Adventure 02.
And period to that.
So start an Abbott Elementary podcast next.
No. So, I also think a title for this episode could have been Daemon's Evil Inferno.
Like Dante.
Yeah.
That would have made.
Well, because his attack is called Evil Inferno.
Oh, yeah.
They say that in the Digimon. The episode starts off with the Digimon Analyzer on Daemon.
I like how we're also, like, we're still just on the title and we're already, like, this episode sucks. Because it kind of does.
Yeah.
It kind of, like, we'll get into details, but, like,
there was the so overall much arc action of it is, like, happening in the last episode. Like, the chase.
And this one is just one battle.
Yeah, and it's, like, a cool battle.
Eh, it gets, like, they're, like, stuck on one attack for, like, 8 minutes.
It very clearly is showing the budgetary constraints that they do reuse a lot of the same animations.
Yeah.
So, Daemon and Oikawa are having a creepy man face-off in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Oikawa is honored to meet Daemon?
Yeah.
So, he knows a lot about the digital world, it feels like. So, then it cuts back to the car, and I wrote, Jim should have a partner. I'm just saying.
Like a Digimon partner, or like a game man?
I think Jim should have a Digimon partner.
Gaemon. The Daemon's.
Gaemon.
Daemon's cousin that he doesn't really like to talk to at Thanksgiving.
So, Gatchaman reminisces about first arriving. Oh, so, they don't show it. But apparently Davis, like, sends a text or an email, because this was 2002 and they didn't have the concept of texting.
Mm-hmm.
He sends an email to TK and Cody and then to Kari and Yoli. And, like, TK and Cody are like, the van is at Heightened Futuris, we gotta go. And then Kari and Yoli and Gatchaman on the back of Aquilamon are flying over Heightened Futuris.
Mm-hmm.
And Gatchaman reminisces... And Gatchaman reminisces about first arriving in Heightened View Terrace. It was the first place she saw in the real world.
Oh.
And she says how beautiful it is. Yeah.
Oh.
So, my next note is, why can't we stop shitting on Davis? Like,
yeah, there's like a weird, I don't even remember what it was. But...
Meanwhile, at the Hot Topic standoff, Arkenimon is ready to offer up Ken to Daemon, but here comes Da Boys!
Yeah.
Vimon and Wormmon surprise Arcanimon with their attacks, which we get to see Wormmon use his attack again.
Oh, yeah.
Sticky net.
Sticky net?
Sticky net.
It did sound like you said sticky nut. Which, like, you know.
So, the boy is Digivolve.
Mm-hmm.
And Daemon messes them up.
Yeah.
And he also messes up Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Who come to... Michael, you thought last time we watched these that Oikawa said, now here's a surprise for you. You thought that that meant that Arukenimon and Mummymon might DNA Digivolve.
Yes, and I think that would have been so... cool.
Do you think that they're the partners of Oikawa?
That's a great question. Maybe. I mean, like, if he knows about the digital world, then he's either a Digimon or he must have a Digivice.
Maybe. We'll see.
If he's ever been there. Maybe he's never even been there. No. I didn't think about that. That's a good question. I would say, I mean, there's the thing is there's two of them. So I feel like he wouldn't have two partners.
We don't know that. You don't know this because we haven't seen the movie yet in our podcast viewing. But in the adventure timeline, there are people who have two Digimon partners.
Oh, spoiled. Greedy.
Willis from America has Terrigamon and Lopmon.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I think maybe we'll talk about it now. Gaemon being this big bad and being like completely kind of separate.
I don't want to have this right now. I have a lot to get to.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So all the Dino Digimon show up at they roll up. Mm-hmm. They're ready to fight Gaemon. And it's time for Imperialdramon.
Yeah. And then we get our favorite Digimon / action show cliche. Big bad sustains big hero attack without a scratch. And they're like, wow, it didn't even leave a scratch.
Oh, Cody says, not even a wrinkle.
Not even a wrinkle, which is like...
Before that, we do get some fun shots. We get Shikuamon sucking up Daemon's fire and then, like, letting it all out like a teapot.
That was cool.
And we get, like, this slow-mo shot of Silphimon, like, warping their hands around to fire off their static force. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's almost like they needed to fill, like, an extra 4 seconds, so they just, like, chopped up this scene to be extra jumpy.
So, meanwhile, we cut to Ken's parents, who are watching the news, concerned about his whereabouts.
And the news anchor talks about an attack. For some reason, he says an attack in Takashima. Like, he hangs on that A for, like, a solid
they were having fun in the recording booth that day.
They were, again, needing to extend it for a couple extra seconds.
Back at the fight, we change in modes. We are never surrendering, trying to send old boy back to the digital world.
And meanwhile... the news is cranking jokes about, they found a cure for the monkey flu.
Daemon, they want to open the gate to the digital world. Daemon says, hold my hot sauce. Like, he rips open a portal in the sky himself.
Yeah.
The thing about this episode is that it does go by quickly.
Yeah, because there's like a solid 7 minutes of like all three of them firing like their most powerful attacks at Daemon, and Daemon just kind of like shielding it away and like talking to the kids. Yeah. Like, that is literally like a third of the episode.
So we are still not giving up. And I am maintaining this would be a good episode where we could have seen Silphimon and Shikuamon Mega Digivolve.
Yep.
To Valkyriemon and / Angemon.
Yep. I agree.
Kari comes up with the theory that they should send Daemon to the Dark Ocean. But how?
Our other favorite recurring Digimon trope, the Dark Ocean.
Yes.
We love the Dark Ocean, cousin of the Dark Gate and the Dark Spore and the Darkness.
I think that if we're going by Digimon rules, we have the rookie level Dark Spore.
Yeah.
Champion level Dark Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate level Dark Ocean.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
So, Ken knows a way. He has to open a Dark Gate. Using the darkness that was inside of his Digivice when he was the Digimon Emperor.
Yeah, because he opened a gate to it once himself. Which, mm-hmm. did we see that?
Yes, in a flashback.
Okay.
So, my next note is, we Dark Ocean boys now.
Also, while trying to open this gate, Ken gets electric shocked. There's like a vroom, vroom sound, like, and he's like, oh, pain! And we're like,
he is why? Like, I think they're framing it as he's like... painfully, like, coming to terms with his Digimon Emperor-ness and, like, the evil that he caused and stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought that he already did that.
Yeah, and, like, that's his method of opening the gate, which, like, sure. Why is there literally, like, it's literally like a stock sound effect of, like, wires, like, electrocuting somebody. It's so weird.
It was the 90s.
There was a lot of, I don't know if you noticed, but there were several times during the truck scene where it used, like, that one sound effect of trucks that every movie ever uses, where it's like a one short horn. It goes like, wah, wah. It's like the up and the down. You would know it. It's like the Wilhelm scream of traffic sounds.
Yeah. So, we Dark Ocean boys, we are all believing in Ken, and we are not giving up. Very wholesome.
Yeah, that this
everyone is... joins their hands on Ken's hand to like send Daemon to the Dark Ocean, And Davis gives his boyfriend Ken an inspiring speech.
Mm-hmm. And holds his hand.
And in her monologue, Kari calls him an idiot because she's a bitch.
This is my favorite part of the episode. Not Kari, but this is my favorite part of the episode. It's the only good part of the episode, I think. Is when they're, like, rallying around Ken to, like, be like, we all are helping you conquer your fears or your past or whatever.
He's just Ken.
Mm-hmm.
So, my next note says, time to send this overgrown pigeon to the dark ocean.
Yeah, which they do. And then he yells...
I'll be back.
You may think you've seen the last of me, but I will be back, which you have let me know.
He's not back.
We will never see him again. Which, like, first of all, us never seeing him again, already stupid. Second, why would they explicitly tell us he's gonna be back if he's never back?
Yeah.
So it's so stupid.
I have some questions to pose to any longtime Digimon fans, specifically Digimon Adventure fans. So, for a long time, I know, like, in the fandom, especially, like, in, like a couple years ago, like, 10, 15 years ago, it was really popular to, like, kind of poo-poo this narrative arc of the Dark Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they touch on again and try, and I don't like it.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, because it's not satisfying. It doesn't really... It's not the same level of questions posed. So, but is this actually a satisfying end to the Dark Ocean Chronicles in 02, this sending Daemon there? Because we've seen that Ken was drawn there by evil in a flashback. Then the next instance we would get of it chronologically would be Kari getting transported there and being rescued by TK and Gatchaman.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see that Yoli pulls Kari out of the darkness there, and Ken, and now we've seen that, oh, they've turned that darkness around, and now they're going to use it to imprison this really powerful Digimon.
I'm not a long-term fan, but I do have an opinion on that.
Yeah.
My answer is no, it is not satisfying, because
I
still have questions about it. Like, it's a different gate, so obviously it's not part of, it's not like a place in the digital world. It's like a separate realm. But, like, if it's a separate realm, the digital world exists because, like, humans invented computers. Like, that's the whole thing. What is the Dark Ocean?
Well, that's not the whole thing. We've had it presented to us in this season that, like, yeah, the digital world may be accessed through computers and technology, but creatures like Digimon have existed in folklore and mythology for centuries.
True. But so, even still, it's still, like, why is... What is the Dark Ocean? Why does it exist?
I don't think it's a super satisfying narrative, but, like, to me, I kind of was like, oh, it is satisfying to me that it is, like, okay, they've had this Dark Ocean plaguing them, and now they're going to use it against somebody.
Yeah, it is better than them just never addressing it again, mm-hmm. and having had those two or three episodes, like, randomly in the season.
And then, my other thing is that I would like to see Daemon come back as the ending of 02, the beginning, no real spoilers, but it is kind of like not the conclusion, very clearly by the title being the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see another follow-up movie with Daemon returning as the villain.
Yeah, it's like, what? Should I go on my Daemon rant now, or should I hold off?
Please do.
Okay, so, the whole thing with Daemon is he is a big bad who's a bigger bad than Arukenimon and Mummymon, because he's like, oh, we can't, like, they can't defeat him, or whatever, they need to do this new technique, the Dark Ocean. But he's not affiliated with Oikawa or Arukenimon, like, he's fighting against them. But we don't really know why. And he never comes back. So basically, they introduced him just to be, like, another hard villain to fight. And they had to make up all the other stuff to, like... Or they just didn't bother making stuff up to justify why there's, like, another big bad here. I think bad character writing right there. Even though Daemon's design is cool, there's no build-up to him being there, except for Lady Devrimon showing up, like, two episodes ago. And there's no...
Yeah, we
explanation
have,
we for have his motive.
The invasion of the Jaemon Corps.
Yeah.
Two episodes ago. But, you know, I'm not saying this is a great narrative at all. In fact, I would rather have seen Jaemon come as the next feedback rather than Obikawa.
Yeah, like that would, like, he's not connected and he doesn't stick around. It's like, what the hell's the point? When they had the perfect opportunity right there to have a satisfying end to the Momimon and Arukenimon, like, the fact that their relationship with each other, where, like, Momimon's obsessed with Arukenimon, Arukenimon resents Momimon, but also keeps him around because she actually likes him. If they had DNA digivolved and become the big bad that they couldn't beat in the same way that Daemon was, while still working with Oikawa, would have made way more sense to me than just random other villain who's super strong shows up and then fucks off.
Well, I would have also rather have liked to see, maybe we were not seeing Oikawa be the villain, but we see that, like, okay, Arukenimon and Momimon have been working for Daemon.
Yeah, it's just,
Oikawa is, like, another side antagonistic character who we see working against the human children, but not, like, kidnapping human children. Like,
yeah, I think this is, I mean, once you told me this thing about how there were, like, a huge disagreement in the writer's room about how to approach the season, this is the biggest sign of that. It feels like there was a team that had written a whole thing for Daemon, and all of it got cut, and to not piss off those five writers that did that part or whatever, they threw him into this arc, so that at least it wasn't completely wasted and they were still, like, included.
Yeah, or because even if Arukenimon and Momimon had DNA digivolved to become Daemon.
Yeah.
That would have been something. Yeah, I do agree with you, it is super weird. I never thought about them DNA digivolving before, though.
Oh, I'm glad I had an idea. I think it would be, I kind of expected that to happen, because it makes sense narratively, because their whole thing is, like, there's, like, romantic tension between them, but also, like, Arukenimon acts like she hates Momimon.
Yeah.
So for them to DNA digivolve, would A, have to, like, oh, they're, like, she's showing how she actually feels connected to him, or, you know, they're in such a bad spot that she has to do that despite his disdain for, like, there's so many ways you could go with that. And instead they're like, no, random other villain of the week who just happens to be the strongest villain probably in the history of Digimon so far.
Yeah.
But also we defeat him in an episode.
Yeah.
So, like, ugh.
I wish, because to me, like, it doesn't make any sense to include Daemon, because everything about 02 feels more human.
Yeah.
Like, we are getting this back and forth narrative of the Digimon entering the real world, like,
yeah,
in the first arc of the Digimon Emperor, the first villain they fight is a human,
and apparently the last one too, you know,
Oikawa, and the Arukenimon and Momimon present very human,
yeah,
for the most part.
It actually, the more I think about it, the more upset it makes me, because it's such a disservice to what's been a good season. Because the other thing is, it also trivializes every other villain they fought this whole season. Like, I know that they just got a hang of, like, DNA digivolving, and, like, all three of them at once, like, is kind of a new thing, like, to fight off a back. Like, and they needed, like, that level of power to defeat Daemon. And then the Dark Gate. But they do it in one episode, which takes, like, Daemon showing up to, like, Daemon getting pushed away. Feels like it, in real world, it must be, like, 20 minutes. Like, in the digital mode, not even, like, for us, like screen time.
It feels like it probably shows, like, an afternoon.
Yeah. Not even, because it's already dark out when he shows up, and it's still the same night.
No, he shows up in the day, remember, when he's, like, gonna take 10, then Arukenimon is like,
oh, yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, you're right.
And they do a whole car chase.
Right.
So, anyway, you know, the Daemon stuff is stupid.
Yeah, sorry, I'm usually not this much of a hater, but, man.
So, Oikawa then decides to release the kidnapped children, but tells them all to remember this area and meet him again at Heightened View Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
Then he runs away to a getaway car like a goofy buffoon.
Yeah, I thought that too. I was like, wow, he's a long stride. Like, throw him at the scouting combine for the NFL. Like, have him run the 40-yard dash, see how he does.
Ken fills in the gang on the Dark Spore's effects, which basically is going to turn these kids into, like, superhumans.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Ken returns home.
Okay, I have a question for you. Because Ken's mom was, like, sobbing because she was so scared about where Ken was. They were going to call the police and all this. Who has it worse? Ken's mom or Deku's mom from My Hero Academia? Because both of these women suffer at the hands of their gifted children.
I think that Deku's mom is more played for laughs.
Yeah.
Initially, where I think Ken's mom has been, like... Also, like, Ken's mom was kind of a bad mom for a while, so, like...
That's true. That's true.
Even though I really like her.
Yeah. I think Deku's mom has it worse, but I also think...
Deku is an active danger of being, like, disintegrated.
Yeah, that is true.
So... look out for our My Hero podcast.
And Deku also goes, like, weeks without calling his mom. Where yeah. Ken does come home every night.
Yeah. So, Jim returns everyone home.
Well, except for the time he was missing for, like, a month.
Yeah. Jim returns everyone home, and...
Bitch, that's June.
Bitch, that's June!
It's a new leaf. She's July now. She's moved on.
She has a new crush!
Yeah, Matt is out. Matt is yesterday's news. Matt is... capris. Matt is those glasses that say the year in them now that it's not like 2006 on New
Year's.
For
anyone who's a younger viewer, Matt is a side part now.
Matt is Facebook.
Matt is skinny jeans.
And Joe's brother Jim is now TikTok.
Yes. Jim. So June has a huge crush on Jim. She thinks he's so cute. Mm-hmm. She's like, ah, younger men are so unpredictable and crazy. I need an older man.
Yeah. June Keto. I like the way that sounds.
Yeah. June is heartbroken after Matt saves Sora at the concert over her.
Yeah.
So then we go back to Ken's parents' house, and he comes out to his parents as a Digidestin.
Yeah.
And they meet Wormmon.
Could you imagine if he was like, also, now that I told you all this, it's probably going to be easier for you to also accept the fact that I'm bisexual. And like he just drops that as like a double dose. Like, he soft launches
his bisexuality.
By being like, it's like, hey, listen, it's not as crazy as this Wormmon guy.
Yeah. Wormmon, meanwhile, is making an excellent charcuterie board.
And a great first impression.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So
and they're happy for him. They're like, we're so glad you have a friend.
Yeah, well, we don't know their exact reaction to Wormmon.
That's true.
You know, at the end of the episode. But TK gave up his seat in the car to Ken
mm-hmm.
in the first place, because TK's parents already know all about the Digimon.
Yeah, TK's parents don't give a shit, man. So, they're just like, whatever, dude, just come home. I'm sorry.
No, TK's mom was really worried about him.
Yeah, but TK lives with his dad usually, right?
Matt lives with his dad. TK okay. lives with his mom.
Right.
So the Dark Spore kids are returned to their parents by the police.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think that the police or the parents would notice these barcode tattoos that are on the backs of the children's necks. But
yeah. Nope.
Maybe they will next time on Digimon Digital Monsters.
Oh, it's not Digital Adventure. Oops.
Oh, that's a good title, though. That's the title for our rewrite.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were only covering two episodes this time because we thought narratively, since the next episode...
The next two episodes are linked, but they're kind of separate from this.
Yeah, we thought this was a good close-off. I'm sure there's going to be stuff that is coming out of this episode into the next two, but the next two are both themed around an old friend. So...
Is it Edamon?
We'll see. Edamon. I wished it was Edamon.
Oh, hey, how you doing? A hunk of burning Digimon, am I right, ladies?
No, I know who I really wish it was, but...
Oh.
So...
What? My boy, Alekmon.
We saw Alekmon, though.
We did.
Oh, this season. I wish it was Ogremon and Leomon.
Oh, I wish so, too.
And Andromon. No, we saw Andromon.
We did see Andromon, yeah.
So, anyway, we've been Adam and Michael.
Yeah.
This has been Two Gays Pod.
Yeah, one of our less positive review episodes, but I think in order to love something, you have to... critique it fairly.
Yeah, you have to be fair in your criticism.
I think the fact that I'm so, at least for me, I think the fact that I'm so bothered by the second episode in particular having such a weak narrative conclusion and, like, the way it disrupts the story shows, like, I wouldn't care as much if I didn't think all the build-up to it had been good, you know? Yeah. Like, if I thought everything was bad, then, like, okay, another bad episode, who cares? But, like, this throws such a wrench into what was a really great flow and a really great arc. Right. Or, like, maybe not arc, but, like, you know.
So, You can follow us on Twitter at twogayspod. That's T-W-O G-A-Y-S P-O-D as in Digimon. You can also email us at twogayspod@gmail.com. I will eventually start an Instagram for our account.
Yeah.
Please also, if you have any ideas for what we should do to close out our time with Digimon Adventure 02, we will be watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But last time for Digimon Adventure, we did like a tier list.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can do another tier list. Maybe
I think we should do tier list.
Maybe we could rank our top 5 episodes.
Oh, that would be hard because that's digging back in the memory banks. But we can try it.
Yeah. And I'm so excited to keep going on this Digimon digital adventure with you.
Oh, that's gay.
Yeah, it's in the title of the show.
Yeah. So. I'm excited.
Bye.
Bye.